Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 467th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 467 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's going out to, I think it was Eric Does Sports who called us out in the Discord for being cowards and not being in there Saturday night to take our punishment for our horrible UFC picks. This goes out to Eric for trying to make Gumby and I be accountable for our actions. Thank you for coming to the show. We're going to be accountable for this episode, which will be LFA 173. Gumby's going to give you 5 winning plays, maybe even more. Who knows? Sometimes he gives you some plays for...
I got a sneaky one.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So we're going to break down at least 5 of the fights for this week's LFA event. And then Wednesday, Thursday, we'll be back to the UFC to preview and make picks for the very last pay-per-view of the year. Let's bring in the regional MMA god himself, Gumby Vreeland, to help break this down. Hello, Mr. Vreeland.
Yeah, so we'll quick recap. 4-1 on Octagon.
There you go. Oh, that's why you want to jump into that. Yeah,
I don't have to tee you up. 4-1 on Octagon. Missed a underdog we picked on a split decision, Lengel. And I think they got the decision right ultimately, but it was clear second round for him, clear third round for his opponent, Samuel Bark. And then the first round, they just both were like kind of feeling each other out. He scored a late takedown that I thought might steal it, but like the bigger strikes were from Bark. So it was an exciting, back and forth 3-round fight, or actually the second 2 rounds, or the second round and the third round were both fun. The first round kind of sucked, but that was the only one we missed. We hit some like even money in the co-main event with Paradiser beating Avon Butchinger, and then, you know, some other kind of chalkier plays, but 4-1 overall.
Fantastic. Up money, I assume.
Yeah, it was up. I want to say it was up like $75 if you bet $100 on all of them. But some of that was because Matej Panage was -2,000. So that correct pick, if you put a blind $100 on the money line, was good for $5.
All right. Bright future for anyone that we saw on this card.
You know, in the Discord, Turnip was singing the praises of Samuel Bark. I think he probably, if he continues to iron things out, is kind of interesting because he's got that Thai style. And I talked a little bit on, you know, last Monday about his wrestling and grappling, which I think is actually a lot better than people give it credit for. I think Panage is good. You know, like he had his chance on Contender Series and lost to Cedricus Dumas. Which will always bewilder me, mostly just because like this is a guy who throws well from distance and has like really good, you know, like striking. And then in that fight, he just like decided to be in Cedricus Dumas's guillotine. So yeah, like a weird one. But I like Panage. I mean, Keita's good too. Keita won in the main event, so lots of potential there.
Fantastic. Thoughts on this week's LFA card that we're going to be covering, LFA 173.
A lot of potential talent here. And I'm going to, before we even get into the official fight, I'm going to throw a name out there that people should pay attention to. I actually got to interview, and this is not just me being a homer, but I got to interview an LFA guy for this weekend's fight card. Actually, two. I talked to Apuni Pagoa last week. But this week on the Top Turtle MMA podcast, we're going to have Oseuman Oyemolan, who's on the prelims. He's only 2-1. So he's like a real raw guy. He's fighting a dude who's 4-0, like real hot prospect. But this dude is an absolute sniper with like crazy KO power. His last fight, he won about with like a sick head kick knockout. So keep an eye out on Oseuman Oyemolan. And there's a chance that since his opponent's 4-0 and has like a much better looking record than him, there's a chance he comes in as a dog here. So if that when that first posts, if you see that number, especially on, you know, some of those offshore books when they first post, I would get in on Oseuman Oyemolan.
Easy for you to say, Gumby.
I know. I was I contemplated putting his fight on here anyway, just to hear you try to. Do you got the LFA Tapology page open right now?
I do. Oseuman Oyemolan.
Oseuman Oyemolan.
See, Gumby just made that pick to flex that he can say the name properly.
I awesome. Actually, in my interview this week with him, which you'll hear when the Top Turtle MMA podcast
drops, I will hear.
I introduce him and then I ask him how I did saying his name, because if you watch like regional announcers, there's been like seven different pronunciations of his name so far.
I assume you did good or you wouldn't be mentioning it right now, Gumby.
He said it was all right.
So he's being polite. I want your co-host on Top Turtle to say his name. So
yeah, make sure I'll see if I can get him to
do it. That would be fantastic. All right, let's get cracking, shall we? LFA 173 Fernando versus Bakoyev is going down from the Pearl Theater in Las Vegas, Nevada, in a cage. Sadly, nothing crazy, just a cage. 10 fights. That will be this coming Friday, the 15th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. UFC Fight Pass. LFA. Still the top dog in terms of regional MMA, correct? Or I guess there's probably something, depends what you consider regional. Is it better than Cage Warriors, you think, at this point?
I think it's better. I actually am starting to lean towards Octagon being better than Cage Warriors in terms of like actual production and like kick-ass fights too. Like their fights are really exciting and they're usually like a little bit more experienced. I think I said it on Monday's show is that Cage Warriors is sort of like just a straight prospect league. Whereas there's a lot of guys who've already been in the UFC and Octagon. So Octagon is like kind of halfway in between Cage Warriors and KSW. And so I don't know if you still call that the regionals or if it's just like a smaller big promotion. Cause KSW, I don't even consider regional anymore. Right. Like it is regional in that it's only in Poland for the most part, but that is their shows are bonkers big. They're bigger than Bellator was before it collapsed. So, Octagon's kind of like smashed in between those in terms of what it's trying to achieve.
Yep. And how does this rate as the LFA card?
It's maybe not got the most guys who are like imminently about to be in the UFC. I think if you went like 3 years down the road, you would look back at it and you'd be like, oh hell, this card's actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, and we got two title fights at the very top of it. We're going to start with a main card fight, 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth from the top. Flyweight fight, Jordan Harris from the USA versus Apuni Pagoa from the United States as well. I'm guessing probably the Hawaiian area. Am I correct?
He is Hawaiian, correct.
There you go. All right. Pagoa, nicknamed Puni, 4-1 with 3 knockouts. Never been finished in a fight. All of his fights have taken place in LFA, so that's impressive. He's fought at a high level. Not much experience, but at least it's a fairly high level. He's won 3 straight fights, last one via knockout. He's not lost a fight since September of 2021. And we have no lines for these fights yet, so Gumby is going to do his best to guess or at least give you ranges that you should bet these fights on. Harris, 3-0 with 1 submission, 1 known LFA. He's not fought since June of 2022. Is a Muay Thai champion. And he's got an inch of height on Pagoa. Take over. Go ahead.
So I actually think Pagoa is probably going to come in here favorite. We'll say negative 200. You get plus 175 on the return on Harris. I think Pagoa is the easy pick here. For a flyweight, he is extremely long. You know, like he's a big guy for flyweight. He's got really good range. And a lot of that is due. He's one of those guys who spends a lot of time in the early exchanges, like grabbing the other guy's lead hand and then hitting him with the rear hand. You know, like it's a weird tactic that you see happen, but like some guys use it way better than others. And he uses it to find range early in fights exceptionally well. His last fight was just like such a great example of what he does in terms of A, footwork and cutting off the cage and just like being in somebody's face all the time, and B, just ripping the body in the most ferocious way you possibly can. He's a great striker. I think the only questions about him potentially, you know, like being in the UFC like soon is like what happens when he runs into a wrestler, because it's not like flyweight short on wrestlers, even in the lower rungs of the UFC. And the guy he's fighting here, Harris, is kind of, he blitzes a lot and throws like, you know, huge sets of combinations and like, you know, run it like sprinting it. He's like damn near sprinting in. But the thing for me and why I really like Pagoa in this fight is the longer that Harris is in exchanges, and he likes to be in them for a really long time, the longer he's in exchanges, the more hittable he is. Like his defense just like slowly melts away from him. When he enters those like blitzy exchanges, his hands are up. By the end of it, he's just like throwing from the hip. And I think against a guy like Pagoa, who can A, tire you out because he's got such good pressure, and B, sort of snipe when he needs to, I think he's just going to find the chin once here.
All right, there you go. Before we go any further, Underdog Fantasy time. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football. I'm interjecting MMA in here as well because they do have MMA. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats and cash in. You got to play for us, Gumby?
Sure. I'll take the higher than on Tariq Hill's receiving yards on Monday night, because always take the higher on Tariq Hill's receiving yards.
There you go. So watch along and make your picks and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. All right, let's move up a fight and up a few weight classes to welterweights. 3 5-minute rounds. Sarik Shields versus Alfonso Leyva. So Shields is American. Leyva is from Mexico. All right, let's tell you about the Mexican first. Leyva, he's a sniper. 6-1 with 6 knockouts. Yep, that sounds like a sniper to me as well. And he's been knocked out once, so he owes us rounds, Gumby.
Never gets old.
Legit. He legitimately owes us rounds. 1-1 in LFA. Got knocked out in his last fight. That was back in December of 2022. He's got an inch of reach on Shields. And Leyva, in a previous life, was an Olympic wrestler. All right. Shields, Berserker. Berserker versus a sniper. Berserker is 5-1 with 1 knockout, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once as well. 2-1 in LFA. He's won 3 straight fights, 2 of those via submission. 2 years younger than Leyva, an inch of height on him.
I think Leyva's going to come in here as the favorite, especially because he was in a title fight in his last fight. And he looked pretty good in that fight up until he didn't. And with the exception of maybe like one ball kick too, he got kicked in the balls pretty hard in that fight. Was it Chris? I think he fought Chris Brown. And Sark Shields probably going to post, I'm guessing, we'll say this one's lined exactly the same as Pagoa and Harris. Negative 200 on Leyva, plus 175 on Shields. And I actually think this is a really good underdog spot for Sark Shields. I know we're talking about Leyva having a wrestling background, but I haven't really seen it since he's been in the UFC, or since he's been in LFA. He's doing a lot of striking. He's doing a lot of backing up, which makes it not really easy. You know, like nickname the sniper, right? And like the reason that nickname is there is because now he's just backing up, waiting for somebody to make a mistake, and he tries to snipe him. Sark Shields is going to accept that he walks backwards, because Sark Shields, go back and watch his last fight. He literally sprints across the cage when they say let's fight, right into a double leg takedown, picks the dude up over his head and slams him on the ground. This dude, I mean, his nickname is Berserker for a reason. He just goes nuts. And it's always with this like exhausting level of wrestling. And it seems like he's got cardio for days. You know, he's like a little Merab, or well, not a little, he's a bigger version. He's like a bigger version of Merab Dvalishvili, like a welterweight Merab Dvalishvili. I actually think he's got really great UFC potential. And I think Leyva's going to have trouble with his wrestling here. Even though Leyva might have some wrestling chops in his past, I think he's going to have problems with the wrestling of Sark Shields. So if he does post as a dog here, I think Sark Shields is a smart play.
All right. What's your range for him?
I mean, I think it plus money at all is a good one for him. Because I actually, this isn't just me saying I like the line or anything like that. Like, I genuinely think he's going to win the fight. I wouldn't want to go, you know, like nuts on him at like negative 160 or something like that. You know, like if he's barely a favorite or to pick him, I might still dabble there. But like, I actually think he's going to be an underdog, being that Leyva is coming from a title fight.
All righty. Where are we moving to now? Where's this train headed to now, Gumby? Choo choo.
Lightweight.
We're going to down a weight class to lightweight. Arian Tavares, USA. Mitch Ramirez, USA. We have spoken about Ramirez before because he has the nickname, the Fight Stalker. A improper nickname, but a smart one nonetheless. All right, Ramirez is 7-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He owes us some rounds too, I reckon. 1-0 in LFA, 0-1 on Contender Series. He lost his last fight via knockout and used to fight up at welterweight. Tavares, the hyphy kid. Do you know what hyphy means, Gumby?
No, but I did Google it because I knew you were going to ask me, and it none of the words that defined it made any sense to me either. So
crunk. It also means crunk. That doesn't help you. Hyphy equals crunk. That doesn't help.
No, there was a whole bunch of
it means hyper. Kind of like what it sounds like. So. Okay. My son didn't know either. So.
There was a whole bunch of buzzwords that were next to it, and I was like, I don't know what any of those mean.
My 13-year-old said it must be an old expression because he doesn't know it either. So it probably is old by the time it gets to our ear. So anyway, the hyphy kid would be Tavares. He's 5-0, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. This is his LFA debut. He's fight at welterweight and light heavyweight, 2 inches of height over Ramirez. Get hyphy with it.
So hyphy is going to be, I think, a massive underdog here. We're going to say negative 500 Mitch Ramirez, plus 400 on the return for Tavares. I would say if he's not a massive underdog here, bet the hell out of Ramirez. Like, Ramirez ought to be, I mean, he ought to be a favorite, like, he ought to be a favorite like Mateusz Panaj was last week at Octagon, negative 2,000. Because Mitch Ramirez is a guy I was actually pretty big on going into Contender Series, and he just happened to fight who I believe is the best guy to come off of the last season of the Contender Series. I don't know if you remember. He fought Carlos Praches.
Yeah.
And Carlos Praches, Fighting Nerds? He's a Fighting Nerds guy. Yeah, Fighting Nerds guy, ridiculously long, crazy knockout power. And Ramirez is like, he's really good at backing people down, but he's just not going to beat a dude who's like a sniper like Carlos Praches. I think Mitch Ramirez is ready for the UFC. There were guys on that show who got contracts who were far worse than Mitch Ramirez. He just ran into a buzzsaw. And Arian Tavares, I was not familiar with. So I like went back and I watched one of his fights. And he comes out, you see the stance, and you're like, okay, this guy looks like maybe he's got some like karate or Muay Thai background. His stance looks very nice. His hands are high. And then he starts throwing the weirdest looking arm punches you have ever seen in your whole life. And I was just like, the stance is really nice. Like, and I can't stress this enough. And he was like bouncing in his stance. And I was like, I bet you this guy's closed his distance well. And then he looked like he was trying to strike you with like the fat underneath his arm, you know, like he's trying to hit you with this right here. I was
really
like, what the hell is going on? And then the weirdest part of the fight I was watching is the guy who he was throwing these punches on didn't seem to understand what was happening either. And he just kept backing up scared. And then eventually ate one of them in like the wildest fashion and got knocked out. So like, this guy's got a bunch of KOs on his record. I'm pretty sure it's been fighting like bums on the regional scene. And I really do think like Mitch Ramirez is just going to be way too technical. I'm going to pick this dude apart and just knock him out any way he wants to.
Doesn't matter how hyphy he's going to get. He's going to get knocked out. So there you go.
Maybe does hyphy mean spazzy? Is that what it means?
Yeah,
his style is pretty hyphy.
Yeah, well, there you go. His style is pretty hyphy. There's a title for us, ladies and gentlemen. His style, Gumby comes through again with a good title for us.
I got you.
Pretty hyphy. All right, let's go to the co-main event, shall we? It is for the Alpha Interim Strawweight Championship. So you know where my next question is going to be.
Gumby? Oh yeah, it was Rose Concieto or Concielco. I can't remember how to say her name. She's a Brazilian girl who won the vacant belt last time out. She, I think she has some sort of knee injury and she's not able to fight and defend. So like, I think they wanted to give both of these two women a chance to win it.
All right. There you go. Okay. We got Natasha Kuziutina.
Kuziutina. Yeah. We've talked about her before. You don't remember?
Have we? No, of course not. She's from Russia versus Giovanna Canuto from Brazil. Have we spoke about her as well?
We have not. We talked about Kuziutina in her second fight in her pro career. She fought for Invicta. Against a pretty hot prospect and got her shit beat.
And we haven't come across any fights where I've missed that it's a rematch yet, right?
No rematches. Fantastic. LFA is pretty good about not booking rematches. They know that's dumb.
Well, once someone wins, the UFC usually grabs them. So that's kind of the way it goes. All right, we'll tell you about Canuto first. Gigi is the nickname. 4-0 with 3 submissions. All those fights have taken place in LFA. She's not fought since September 2022. 13 years younger than Kuzi. And she's a multi-time, really Brazilian jiu-jitsu world champion. Kuziutina. You can call her. She's 4-1 with 3 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. This is her LFA debut. She won 3 straight fights, 2 of them via submission. 0-1 in Invicta. Inch height, inch reach over Canuto. And she was a bronze medalist in judo in the Olympics. We got BJJ versus judo here. How do you break this one down?
So I think it's going to be a pick 'em because, as you mentioned, Kuziutina comes from a really nice judo background. She clearly got the takedowns and stuff. Canuto, you know, multiple times jiu-jitsu world champion, but she is really young, which I think is why this line will probably come in as a pick 'em, is because Kuziutina is, you know, a little bit of experience level, you know, like obviously you know, like, well, a little bit more well-traveled than Canuto, but I'm going to go Canuto here. I think Kuziutina does have good takedowns, but we also saw her neutralized against another jiu-jitsu fighter before in the past. She fought Fatu McLean, who is now the CFFC strawweight champion and, like, could not be on a clearer trajectory to be in the UFC if we tried to put her on one. She strikes me as somebody who the UFC will just sign in the early parts of 2024. They will not need her in short notice. They will not need her on Contender Series. She's just going to the UFC. So buckle up for that. But like, still, Kuziutina fought her and just like had nothing for her in the wrestling side of the game. Nothing at all. And certainly nothing in the submission side of the game either. Kuziutina is best when she's wrestling because actually her striking is kind of terrible. Her hands are a little bit on the slow side. She clearly doesn't look comfortable throwing hands. But when she gets to the ground, she's got really good position on the top. Her arm bars are really good. Only thing I will say about her grappling game is it's a little risky. Like sometimes she passes when she doesn't have like good pressure and she gets elevated or loses a position, or, you know, like she falls off back mount a lot. And sometimes that's just because she's looking for the arm bar anyway. But like against higher level grapplers like Canuto, that's not a good thing. Because she's just not going to get that arm bar. And the thing I like about Canuto, in addition to really loving her grappling game, because her grappling game's sick, sweet double leg. She chains her wrestling together. Like, she's clearly learned how to put all of that together. Her positioning in jiu-jitsu is awesome. But in addition to all that, she's really developed her hands in the last couple of fights. She's got, like, nice three-punch combinations. Her head moves as she's coming in to land those combinations. She masks them like they are her takedown. So she like almost like fakes the duck down into the takedown and then she throws a combination and her head moves all the time. So like Canuto to me is, even at 21 years old, just a much more complete fighter than Kuziutina. And the fact that like she's better positioning wise too, right? Because sometimes when you get these grappling matches, you get somebody who is just as good as the other one, but maybe takes too many like dumb risks and winds up on the bottom all the time. I think Canuto being the smarter positional fighter here is what's going to carry her to a victory. So I would say, you know, I kind of expect this fight to be a pick 'em. I'd be fine with Canuto all the way up to like, you know, $150, $160. It starts getting close to $2. I would say start to think about her in parlays. Any more than that, I just probably call this a pass fight.
All righty. There you go. Before we get to the main event, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit itchofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In event time, any other title on the line here? I don't think it's vacant or interim or anything. No, it's the LFA Middleweight Championship. Azamat Bekoya versus Lucas Fernando. Five-minute rounds, 185 pounds. Tell you about both these guys technically are the champion. So I will tell you about how about the interim champion. Fernando didn't get stripped, right? As far as I know?
No, I don't believe so.
No. Okay. We got interim champ first, which we'll tell you about. Bekoyev, King Pin is the nickname. 16-3, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been submitted one time. 2-0 in LFA and the interim champion of this weight class. He's won 4 straight fights in 5 of his last 6. He's not lost a fight since September of 2021. Fernando, 9-2, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. 4-0 in LFA and is the official champion of this weight class. 0-1 on Contender Series, hence the interim title for Bekoyev. He's won 4 of his last 5. He used to fight out welterweight, 2 years younger than Bekoyev, 4 inches taller, 8 inches of reach. So he's going to tower over him. Go ahead.
So I'm going to go with Bekoyev here. I think he'll probably be a slight favorite. We'll say not as big as the other ones. We'll say like, you know, -160. We'll get +135 on Fernando. The key to this fight to me is just Fernando in his Contender Series fight looked awful grappling. Just truly awful. I don't know if you remember, he fought Cesar Almeida, the kickboxer, the 39-year-old middleweight kickboxer, with a 3-fight, you know, I think he was 3-0, got his chance on Contender Series. And what did he do? He weirdly out-wrestled Lucas Fernando in every corner of that cage. And like, if you're getting out-grappled by a 38-year-old kickboxer, and I know he's looked better in LFA than he did on Contender Series, but if that's the type of guy who's out grappling you, I think Bekoyev is going to out grapple him pretty easily. And that's not to say that Fernando's not probably a touch better on the feet. That's actually why I think the odds will stay pretty close in this one. I just can't imagine Fernando tagging him enough that like Bekoyev doesn't get the chance to shoot in. And Fernando, he sort of looked listless when he wound up on his back in that fight. Is like, He didn't look like he had an idea on how to get up. He didn't look like he wanted to get up. He didn't know how to cage walk. And it was against a guy who's not as good on the mat as Bekoyev is. So I think while you can really like Fernando and you could say like the things he does are really great, this is just a terrible matchup for him. Bekoyev is just one of those guys who is going to be trouble for Fernando, especially if he doesn't like, you know, sort of maintain his distance. So yeah, give me Bekoyev here. I think it's probably a slight favorite.
All right, there you go. Let's recap the picks and get out of your ear holes for at least a day. Bakoyev, Canuto, Ramirez, Shields, and Harris. The only two...
Nope, not Harris. Pagoa.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pagoa. The only pick you differ on is the Shields pick from Tabology. They're picking all the same fighters as you are.
Well, and that's why I thought Shields would probably be an underdog too. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. I think people are going to be in Leyva off of the title fight.
So there you go. Hopefully you enjoyed the hyphy episode that we put into your ears. We'll be back on Wednesday. We've got UFC pay-per-view, UFC 296. We'll do the prelims Wednesday, the main card on Thursday, along with our fancy picks. In the meantime, we shall be in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, Twitter, SGPNMMA, at Gumby Vreeland, at Jeff Fox Writer. That's what I am on Instagram as well. Get in my Substack, subscribe, enter my Pick'em contest for free for the UFC. That's moneymma.substack.com. Listen to Gummy's Top Turtle MMA podcast every week in your ears. I'm not on it, so it shall be a good listen. Who is on it this week? Do we know who's on it this week?
Yeah, the aforementioned Oseuman Oyemolan from this LFA 173 card. And then I'm also talking to Dustin Jacoby as he's getting ready to fight Alonzo Menafield this weekend.
There you go. So listen to that, and then all good things in sports gambling spheres at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Gumby, get us out of here.
All right. I'm Data Gumby Vreeland. He's the hyphy kid, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.